Welcome back, everybody, to the Dom and Colin podcast for continued challenge coverage. The Challenge Double Agents Reunion Part 1 happened this week, as well as the Challenge All-Stars Episode 5. There's no way I'm getting that wrong with a 9-episode season, so we're going to talk about it all. Of course, I am Matt alongside my co-host, Brian Scally. Scally, how are you?
Hello, hello. I remembered my tennis shoes. I am all ready to talk about almost the end of season 36. We are almost there.
Is there a difference between, and I'm sure there is, but like between tennis shoes and like sneakers?
No, I think it just was really highlighting the age difference between the contestants
that's what I felt
we're getting
like.
On the two shows.
Like, tennis shoes, okay.
I was like, I haven't heard that one in a little while.
I mean, if Beth wears tennis shoes, I'm wearing tennis shoes.
That is so, fair. Okay, maybe right. It's a new movement.
Well, yeah, lots to get into with the Challenge All-Stars, of course. First, we're going to talk about season 36, which, yeah, I believe as of next week, we will finally be done talking about that active season of the Challenge on MTV until season 37 ever gets under control. We can talk about that in a bit as well. And next week, we're going to have Chappelle with us, unless anything crazy happens between now and then. So that should be fun. But yeah, we had the part one of the reunion this week.
Definitely. Part one of the reunion out of what I assume is two parts. Don't really have a strong confirmation that way, but I can't see this going three parts. So, yeah, I felt like this was super fun. Not that we got a ton of new information, especially with how much we are keeping an eye on what they're doing outside of the show and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But overall, like, I enjoyed this hour and a half of the reunion so far.
Yeah, it was fun. I mean, a lot of the people in the season that had the drama happening for them didn't go super far, or they went like halfway through. I'm thinking of like the Devins and Josh's and I don't know, anybody else that brought something on a level other than just being really good at the game. Like, even like, I'm not saying Tori brings everything to the show, but you know, she's having all of these people back on stage for the reunion usually is a good time, you know, most of the time, right? Mm-hmm. Sometimes good times. I don't know.
Yeah. I feel like we really needed Lolo to spice it up, but I don't think that was ever happening.
I feel like I knew the people that weren't going to be at the reunion, and it's already gone out of my head. The only person that I know that wasn't there was Lolo.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think we saw a Liv sighting.
No Liv.
Otherwise.
No
Liv.
No
really,
Natalie, of course. But
yeah,
that's
no Natalie,
not surprising.
No Nicole.
No Nicole. No Wes. Wow.
That
no
is,
Wes.
No Wes. Yeah. I was like, did they snub a lot of women, or can I just not remember any of
no,
the men?
Michi.
No, Michi. Yeah, Michi and Joseph and Leo.
Now, that Joseph is a snub. That's, you know, but so we started the whole thing all the way back with Joseph. But
yeah, remember when you were asking if I thought Joseph had a chance of coming back?
Yeah. What's your point?
I don't see him on that 37 list. So.
All right, whatever. I don't know if anyone's on the 37 list anymore. Should we just talk about it now? Whatever. Sure. Season 37, halting production?
It appears that way. I really presumed, like, they're not going to fly everyone back, right? Like, they're already on a site, and I know it's not convenient to go ahead and pause down for 2 weeks, but I don't feel like I've gotten a lot of confirmation any which way on this.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely stopped digging in for any information once I knew filming started, so kind of threw me off, and we got tweeted at the other day, and Ethan, who was saying that, you know, production got stopped, and, you know, I did a little bit of looking around to try to see if I could learn anything. I don't know, nothing seems to be available, at least unless I missed anything, other than somebody had COVID and tested positive for COVID after they were already inside the house. So they, of course, had to shut things down because everybody was then exposed. And, you know, it's not just like, oh, we can test everybody again and see if they were all exposed. And that's how this works. You have to go back into quarantine. And, you know, if within a week or 2 weeks or whatever it is, then, you know, you keep getting tested and hopefully nobody else is affected. But, you know, wouldn't be surprised if that's not the case.
Yeah, I feel like it's tough because on shows like this, I feel like The Bachelor was particularly bad with bringing in guests all season. I don't know what like Love Island was a show that brings in people a lot, but they seem to have everyone, or The Circle, quarantined like straight from the beginning. And so warning to all of those shows, like, this is the case. Do not go easy on the quarantine time.
Yeah, I don't know what the point of, they did such a good job with the other two seasons, like, seemed to go off without any problems with Double Agents. Yes, was filmed in quarantine time. That, I know, seems crazy to think about it like that. And All Stars, obviously, was all filmed in the pandemic, but this one, something went wrong. So who knows what's happening there, but we'll keep you guys updated as we hear anything and if they ever get back filming. So, but for now, we've got Double Agents here. The reunion took place, part one, Vernon Davis again hosting. He's only done one so far, right? I feel like he did last season or two seasons ago or something. I think he did the last one with the Zoom call.
I believe you.
Okay. I know this isn't the first time we're seeing him.
Okay.
Anyway, the interesting part here is that we're seeing him in person with all of the other challengers in person.
Yeah, maybe a contributing factor to why we're not getting 37 on time. Like, I feel like they were, like, we'll talk about it more later, but the behind the scenes, I was like, I like that you're all distanced on stage. Maybe don't be tackling each other backstage.
Yeah.
Like, seems like a problem.
And just thought it was a little funny that, like, Cam and Leroy had to be distant from each other. I don't know. I was just like, they could have put them on, like, a little love seat together, but whatever.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair.
Obviously, not everybody there. The people in the UK, of course, were calling in, as well as a couple of other people calling in. Nelson calling in, even though he was in New York. If you listened to the Tori and Anissa podcast, they talked about how, they did a mostly, like, a good job with everybody, you know, getting tested before they got in the flights. And then, obviously, they were supposed to be in their hotel rooms until the reunion. Not everybody followed the instructions. I think Nelson did not get the test he needed to get at the time he needed to get it and ended up in New York with everybody else for the reunion, but still Skyping in from his hotel room because however things worked out. So that was very funny to me because that's very Nelson.
Yeah, I'm a big procrastinator too. I get it. It sounded like Nelson was like, I'll take it when I get there. Like, I understand that is not possible. You can't do, like, don't do that. You have a turnaround time. But of course, it's just like Nelson to, you know, put it off and then show up like, we're good, right? No, stay in the hotel room, buddy. So,
yeah.
Would have rather had Nelson in person, especially over, I feel like we trotted a couple people out here for no reason at all. But they did the best they could.
Yeah. So let's talk about some of this stuff from the reunion. We'll try to go in order. Just some quick hits at the top. We had Anissa and Fessy. We'll get, I guess, more into them later on. A bit on CT and Cam when Cam, got denied by CT earlier on. Killa of it all. And then talk about Corey and his curse, which I feel like there's going to be more on that to come in part two because there was just really quick touching on it there. But then we really get into things when we're talking about the final and we talk to our two winners, CT and Amber. CT, who's gone from dad bod to father figure, Amber winning on her rookie season. So just some check-ins with both of them about, what the win meant to them.
Yeah, if Colin and Haley have not already watched the reunion, I will not be encouraging them to. They do not need to see what type of shape CT is in going into the next draft. need to hide that from them. But yeah, no, CT looks good. I like that they made sure to also, congratulate Amber there. It has settled in. I am happier for them than I once was on the day of the, a little bit of a sad news for Leroy, but it was good to get to celebrate them again here since I was not quite in the mood that time.
And Big T was happy for him.
I know.
Should she have been? I don't know, but she was. And again, if she's happy, I'm happy. So that's just where I'm at. So the two of them just talking about their win and, CT, this is his fourth win. I don't know how much we talked about that, last week, but fourth win is definitely up there in, overall challenge wins. I'm not going to talk about Mr. Seven wins. But anybody who's going to, kind of come close to that number, I don't think anyone's beating it, but I don't know. You never know. I just am glad that it's not just like somebody with seven wins and then everybody else with like, two, three, whatever. Darrell is always at four, right? So
yeah, Darrell's had four. I feel like a couple other people are like kind of up there. But I'm trying to even look that up. I'm wondering at what point, like, evaluating the wins of Bananas versus evaluating the wins of CT when all is said and done. But I don't think we're quite there yet. CT not dead on arrival on these seasons anymore, it seems.
Yeah, which is wild to me, as somebody who has constantly undervalued him, or underrated him, I think, I mean, in drafts that we've done so far. So we'll see how I feel about him when our next draft shows up. We talk about Fessy a lot in this reunion. We start with talking about Fessy and Casey in their finale, in their final run. And then we get some Fessy and Devin arguing, which is obvious. That was for sure going to come. Even later on, we get some with Fessy versus Amber, and then we get with Fessy and Tori. When did Fessy become the main star of the challenge?
You know, I feel like we talked about, we don't have some of these other people filled with drama sticking around. And while Fessy is not like the most dramatic person, there is a lot of drama that surrounds Fessy. And that is usually what we're hitting on in these reunions. So to see he got the spotlight, I didn't think I expected it to this extent. But it's not, you know, my jaw's not on the floor at the same time.
And I just, this goes back to why I always appreciate Devin, because he knows how bad he is at a lot of aspects of the challenge. And Fessy's out here on Instagram Live being like, I'm the best, no one can ever beat me. And it's like, dude, you have lost twice in both finals. Like, yeah, you do well, you're successful, you make it to the end, and then you don't win. And you don't look like you're about to get the win anytime soon, because you keep flopping in the final. Like, I don't know what else we need to see from Fessy to, you know, like, and I will not be surprised if he's a high draft pick yet again in the next draft, because his overall skill set definitely, you know, speaks volumes to what he can do. But just, you know, the way that Devin came for him saying, like, you're not going to win. I was like, yeah, that's a better dig than you suck at the challenge. Devin's like, I know, that's fine.
Yeah, for Fessy, I feel like this is a great spot to be in terms of locking in your challenge career. I don't think Fessy needs to be doing this, given his sheer size and competitive ability. But in terms of, like, Fessy wants to be that next CT. He wants to be that next Bananas. And he doesn't even want to be compared to them. He wants to be better than them in the future.
Right.
Obviously, he needs to be more like all encompassing when it comes to that. And I do really think it stuck with him that first season and Big Brother, everyone calling him boring. And the problem is, like, he knew he had to come in and create drama and be more involved, and that's not naturally him. And then he gets home and he's trying to reject all of it, and that's not me, and this is editing, and he's getting like pouty, like, when watching the clips. And all I want is for Fessy to own it, and I would enjoy it so much more. But this is where we're at with Fessy, and I, you know, we're hurting for villains on the show, so I'm not super upset. But yeah, it's not as enjoyable as someone who recognizes their flaws, for sure.
Yeah, and I feel like there was a lot of talk in the early speculation and stuff for the season 37 cast that there, and I don't remember who has or hasn't gotten dropped, but there were a couple of guys on that cast that were like supposedly either the same size as Fessy or maybe even bigger than Fessy. So,
wow.
If that is the case, that we have people Fessy's size going into the next season, and we can get an elimination with the two of those, you know, going head to head. I don't know, Fessy. Maybe you should be careful what you ask for, just saying.
That's wild, because on one point it's like almost the producers being like, oh, you think that no one can beat you in a physical elimination, like, let's go Romania, like, I got you, I'm watching your shows for the draft. Like, let's go Love Island Germany, like, you know, they are, yeah, all over the map in terms of these casting choices. But at the same time, like, good for Devin for getting these calls back, but good luck when you're up against, you know, 14 other Fessies.
Yeah. Speaking of, Devin got a segment about Big Brother sucks, of course, and a bit of an exposed party here for both Devin and Josh, enemies in the show, and hanging out outside the show, gets called out with pictures and all, of like Josh giving Devin a noogie on the beach in Mexico, wherever they ended up going. Devin was talking about, you know, I didn't mean for Big Brother sucks to take on the life that it did, but, you know, I just said it one day and it stuck. And Josh talking about, you know, Devin's not going to be in the alliance per se, but he is pretty cool and I like him outside the show. I was like, what is happening here? Do I care?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like them being friends makes it less likely for Josh to come back. So one less storyline Josh has, I guess.
True.
But, you know, I don't know who Josh's new enemy will be next season if it's not Devin. I feel like they'll probably both know that they need a storyline and will butt heads again, but it's just like, I also don't love the like highlighting and treating it like it's so normal that, okay, so when like Fessy and like Tori were in Mexico and when Josh and Devin were on vacation, like, and people are tackling each other backstage, I was like, this is not normal, this is not like appropriate, like why are you like, oh, isn't this so funny? Like I wish that I was like dumb enough and like irresponsible enough to not care, but I don't, but like it is so annoying at the same time, like, and that was my like, I wonder why season 37 got put on hold, but yeah, this is where we're at.
I mean, they definitely did have all those pictures of them, which is like the two of them are out there on like, you know, a dock. It didn't seem like they were around other people, but the point, yeah, they're still like on vacation and like whatever. I guess we don't need to be the you know, the monitors of all vacationing and people doing stuff in the pandemic, because it seems like a lot of these people are doing stuff in the pandemic, yeah. But it does feel weird when you know, bring it up that that they're just like, oh yeah, so they just, you know, there's Fessy and Tori hanging out at a bar, nobody's got a mask on, but you know, it's fine, whatever. Mm-hmm. So yeah, point taken. So we'll see how those two end up together. Maybe they were just listening to the podcast and realized that they might be partners on a future season and that would not work out for them at all on a future rival season. So, they were like, we have to squash this before that happens, 'cause I don't want you as a partner. Who knows? Cam and Leroy in love. Of course, this was going to be a segment, and thank God, for it. I could never in a million years have predicted that the Cam and Leroy segment at the finale or the reunion would have involved tears from one Nani Gonzalez.
Yeah, I mean, we started with Leroy tearing up, and like Leroy was emotional. I feel like maybe the viewers as well, one or two of us. Yeah, for Nani, it was like, this is big. And I like that. I like that we're getting on Leroy's way out, like one more time, like highlighting another like really close relationship that he has here, and how much he's grown since they were first on. We've revisited a lot of their moments and even talked about them on this reunion. So I enjoyed this. Could have dealt with more of this and less of Fessy.
Like, oh my goodness. Look, Nani, that's how all of us feel too, right? So like, we're all bawling and crying when we see how happy Leroy and Cam are, but like, oh my goodness, it just threw me off. I did not expect it. She was emotional and not in a bad way. It just the happy tears came through. She's like, I've never seen Leroy this happy. Cam, I know how great you are and how much better you make him. I just, you know, I can't believe how in love you guys are. And I was like, oh my God, this is wild. But yeah,
there were a couple things. I didn't, to be reminded of Leroy's foot fetish was not something I expected on this reunion.
Like, they really had to show the clip, right, of them at the War of the Worlds reunion. Ooh. I was like, awkward. We don't.
My
need
biggest
to go back
regret.
Here.
Don't say that. Don't say that.
I know.
Yeah, it was bad then, so and then now so far, it's though. Like, I'm amazed you overcame that, but I'm very happy you did. Yeah. So.
Feels like a lifetime ago when it was like 3 years ago, if
seriously.
That. So, of course, we are very happy that they are happy. So, all good in the land of Cam and Leroy. Also, I saw a Reddit post. Somebody, you know, people are out here actively going to get haircuts from Leroy, which is like awesome that, you know, that's something that people are allowed to do. So it's like $40 a haircut, which seems like a very fair rate to get Leroy from the challenge to cut your hair. And you spend some time with him, talk to him, take a picture with him and all that stuff. Like, I'm glad that that's all working out for him and anybody that visits him down there. But the person who got their haircut was saying that, like, yeah, Leroy is definitely done. Like, he's not, you know, joking. Like, he says he is done. The two of them are obviously very happy. Like, Cam's always around, so like sometimes she gets to visit with the people that are getting their haircut. So I don't know. It was a happy post that the fans are getting this experience with Leroy, but a sad post that it was like, okay, no, he might not be on All Stars because he actually seems done. But whatever.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to take more what Leroy says, like, and his friends say than what Leroy says when he's cutting some, like, random's hair. Like, it's good. If I'm in the area, I'm very picky about my hair, but maybe I would let Leroy do it. but yeah, I feel like Leroy is due for at least a long break after the promise of the retirement that we got.
Insert clip of Nani crying. Ashley versus Nelson. Ashley is here. Millionaire Mitchell is at the reunion, which we love to see, not just because like we love Ashley, but also like the amount of reunions that Jonathan DiVenzio was invited to, even though he was like barely on the season. I'm glad that Ashley was invited to the reunion, even though, you know, she was out really early twice. Like, it wasn't her best season, to say the least. So glad that she was able to be there and, even getting some drama, some exciting television created here that she just creates this out of nothing. Like, I don't know what was going on between her and Nelson. It doesn't sound like anything I remember that happened on the show, but she was upset with him. And then we got to hear both Nani and Cam talk about how great and loyal Ashley is. And I was like, love this.
See, so at first I was like scoping the stage. Who do they have on the main stage? And I was like, there's a number of people missing. And I was like, why is Tori here? Like, she went out so early. And of course they have Tori. And then Ashley, I'm like, of course we have Ashley. I love Ashley. Like, it does not equal up in my mind, but it's fine. I feel like for this, great to have, you know, this positive content for Ashley going into next season where everyone's talking about how trustworthy she is and how they love her and everything. But next season I am going in expecting the same fate for Ashley, because I'm not gonna get my hopes up and get let down again, and I'm upset, but I just feel like it is an easy narrative for people to frame around her, and it's not ideal. I am hoping that this is genuine, and I would think that a lot of these vets, especially outside of the Big Brother alliance, should realize that they really need each other at this point, especially when you claim to think Ashley is so loyal. But I do not have my hopes up about every person on that season wanting to work with Ashley by any means.
I know, it's the exact same cast of season 36, like, mm-hmm. for the vets. Like, what is going to be different? I don't want to get into this because it'll make me sad. Well, except Amanda's there, and that's obviously a huge point in her favor, but is that enough? I don't know. Nelson says he's not voting for her next season, so maybe it is. And she looked great at this reunion, so, you know, we'll take what we can get. But yeah,
she was so extra in the like full body sparkly.
It was great.
It was so funny.
It was great. And Anissa's like, you can't cry in that. She's like, I know. So we
was like, Ashley would show up in this, but I like it.
Speaking of fashion, we got a segment about the sisterhood of the traveling turtleneck with Kyle and Devin pulling the prank on all of the other everybody else who was wearing like the exact same thing into their confessionals. Fessy was like trying to discredit it, and you know, just more time for Devin to talk about how funny he is, which I was like, I guess that's fair.
I was a little confused. I was like, are you pulling a prank in terms of wearing the same outfit as funny, or are you trying to be referential to everyone wearing the turtleneck? Because that does, I was like, unclear, but all right. I believe that like it was a prank that they wore the exact same outfit.
Yeah.
But I wasn't clear on like what the punchline, like if the punchline was more than just here, we're in the same outfit.
I think the punchline was that these guys are clearly going in there with the same outfit, so let's do the same thing.
Okay. I didn't know if they were, how like hyper aware they were of everyone's confessional looks throughout the season.
I imagine that's what it was. I mean, on a confessional day is like the one day of the week that they're all going in their confessionals for confessionals, right?
Gotcha,
so they're you know, I'm sure they all see each other as they go into the room or whatever it is. So I don't know. More on Fessy for a couple different segments. Fessy and Anissa, where Fessy gets called out how he's just been a horrible partner all season. He wasn't eating with Anissa earlier on. He wasn't eating in the final with Casey. And people were like specifically calling him out saying, you know, you only wanted to work with Casey. That's fine. But you just should have been more upfront about that and not made everybody else feel like crap. Which also we saw this about Tori and Devin, the two of them getting into an argument about their bad partnership. And that's where Nam gets to also say something here, because Nam, you never had any issues with your partner, right? No, just kidding. But they're like, well, you never betrayed Lolo at the very least.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like the attempt was made for them to mutually split up, but it was a mutual decision. It was not one of theirs alone. So yeah, at least that was the case there.
Tori and Devin definitely, again, are friends, these two. Tori talked about it on the podcast. They are big time friends. Whatever you see from them on this season, on the show, on the it's all garbage. They're
it's
friends.
Tongue in cheek. All of it is joking. Yeah.
Yes.
None of this is serious.
As are Kyle and Nani, who are still on this about their partnership. And I mean, I just love these two together, because Kyle is just, I mean, Kyle's funny all the time, but the way that they were like yelling at each other, like, you suck. No, you suck. No, you're a liar. No, you're, I don't know. I enjoyed the two of them.
I'm happy because I feel like, especially if Bananas is gone, Leroy's gone, like Cam's not back next season, I'm happy for Nani to have someone that she can play off of and work with, but and more importantly for me personally, like have fun scenes on TV that is going to keep her relevant to the storyline, hopefully.
Right. While we're talking, we were talking about Fessy and Tori as well in the past like 5 minutes of speech, let's just kind of cut ahead where we had Amber M is going to come out, and we'll swing back around to everything with Tori and Big T and all that kind of stuff. We see Amber M calling Fessy out for how he was up Tori's ass all season, and I mean, Amber M brought the fire in this reunion. She definitely, you know, they didn't need her the whole time, so I guess they just brought her out when they were going to talk about things pertaining to her, but she did not let Fessy go off easy.
Yeah, Amber M making her bid to get on next season very transparently, but you know, for like Fessy, like what did he say, 'cause you are not the most dramatic thing I've heard out of Fessy's mouth. So kind of like a, yeah, this was fun. And like, we didn't have much like this throughout the rest of the reunion. So I enjoyed it, but I also did not take it like super seriously.
Yeah. I enjoyed the segment with her. I mean, so we got a segment on CT and Big T. Obviously, you know, you knew this was coming, and it was nice. I mean, Big T was telling us even more about the two of their relationship in the show, like, you know, at the good times, you know, about how she was teaching CT about her heritage and all these different things that were kind of connecting them so much. And, you know, going back into, of course, the bad part of it all where things went south. And, you know, it seems like they are past it and they are in a good place, but it was the reunion. So things got hashed out, and she was saying, you know, I was happy for you when you got the win. You know, just overall, they seemed to be fine, but you knew that it was going to come up.
Will CT betray Big T again next season, the season after? Like, that's the thing is, I know for Big T, it's great to have like an established ally in this game. It would not be great for her to be coming in with an enemy next season, but I'm also cautious of like, that ally is CT, and he backstabbed every single person he worked with this season. So
yeah, no.
I'm up and down on that one.
By no means can you trust CT to have your back in the game. Like, you can look at Anissa and know that she'll have Tori for the entire next season, or as long as the two of them stay such good friends. CT loved working with Big T, as he says, and whether or not you want to believe him is your own, you know, deal. I don't know how much I believe him. I believe that there was a connection there, but I don't know how much he like genuinely liked having her as a partner, because obviously he was trying so hard to get rid of her. But as far like, what does that mean for them in the future? I'm sure he wouldn't actively want to get her out of the next challenge house they're in together, which is next season. You know, fingers crossed with everything happening here. I don't know. I don't have any faith in CT to, you know, be there for her.
Yeah, I think it's when times are good, he's going to be her number one, you know, champion. And when times are bad, like under the bus you go. That's
right.
His MO at this point. And I feel like at least she knows it now and hopefully does not fall for that again.
Mm-hmm. And then Big T is going to be there with Amber. Well, Big T's on the screen as Amber comes out, and they both kind of call out Tori for everything that she had going on with calling out the rookies for being weak. And then Amber kind of gets into it more with Tori and Anissa on her own, just talking about how they were being mean girls. And Tori's like, I wasn't going to fake it. Like, we weren't working together. What was I going to do? Like pretend that we were working together. It was stupid. And then I loved Amber M because I guess it was just a tweet from her talking about that boring ass podcast. And I was like, Ooh, the reviews are in.
Yeah. Go look for the 1 stars on iTunes. Amber's name.
But what do you think about this segment? Tori was like, oh, would you want me to come apologize to you? I live in New Jersey. Like, what?
it was funny because that was partially my thought, where she was like, you don't do like an apology. And it was like, did this warrant like a public tweet? No. Like, Amber, like, let's calm down. But at the same, like, this is funny. I also wish Tori was just kind of like, get over it. I don't care. Like, I want Tori and Fessy to own their villainy a little more. That would be much more fun for me personally. There were many times where they're just like looking at their nails or rolling their eyes or like posing so villainously. And I'm like, I could stand, like, I'm so close, and you're just not giving what I need is the problem. So there were moments here, but unfortunately, you know, I'm still like in the middle of this. Like, I'm not really on either of their side here.
Yeah, and then continuing on with Tori, we get a lot of the Fessy and Tori talk about, you know, and they bring in Gabby just in time for all of the Fessy and Tori talk. I mean, Gabby was obviously going to get some Gabby and Fessy talk as well, but I was like, this is so shady bringing her in to, like, have her sit in on this part of the conversation as well, where, you know, oh, they were crushing on each other, Tori and Fessy, and then they went on vacation together, and people found pictures of them, and Tori was single, and they went all the way to wherever they went just to talk. That was it, just to talk.
Them cutting back to Gabby having no reaction, like, over and over, was so unintentionally funny, I think. Where just, like, she's just deadpan staring into the camera as, like, they're having a conversation.
Right? Like, what is the point of this?
We didn't need her. And it's the thing of, you know, we'll talk about, you know, where Fessy insults Gabby's boyfriend, calling him half a man.
What?
and then Gabby is just like, well, everyone would look like half a man next to Fess. Like, Gabby, fight back. This is why I don't necessarily need you on next season. Said, really, just say Fessy has half a brain. Real easy comeback. No problem. But she's just is like, nice, and that's fine, and that's, like, good. So that's where I kind of was like, you know, I am probably more out on Gabby than in terms of return appearance.
I mean, I'm perfectly in the middle. Like, right. Like, if she's there, cool. If she's not, also cool. Do not really, you know, care much either way. She was, you know, the whole half a man comment, I was like, this is so stupid. Like, Fessy said something stupid, he put his foot in his mouth, as he will do every day of his life, and, you know, just turned into a bigger deal because, oh, there's the villain Fessy. I was like, I really don't care. This time could be used on anything else. True. I really don't care.
I think it was, though, that he was just like, I didn't say that. Like, you're the mic is hot, bud. I know. Like, like, stop denying it, just own it.
I just feel like if we capture every stupid thing Fessy says, it's just, we're gonna have the whole season be about him.
I feel like that is the direction we're trending in.
So, you know, I don't need it. I did love Devin and Nisa backstage with their giant, you know, face shields on, pretending to be Fessy and Gabby. And Devin's like, I can't kiss you. I'm an introvert. I was like, oh no. And Anissa put on her best British accent to try to pretend to be Gabby. She's like, just come all the way down here and kiss me.
Yeah, the introvert line was definitely a good callback.
Yikes. Yikes, yikes, yikes. And then Anissa also with the confession about how she wanted to get it on with Fessy. She's like, Fessy's like, yeah, well, she came in my shower. She's like, you invited me. He's like, what did she say? You invited me into the shower.
Again, why is this not on TV? Why is this not making it?
I don't know. Good question.
Leaving the gold on the floor. I don't know why.
Yeah, well, I mean, I don't need to see Anissa walk into Fessy's shower, but, like, it would have been nice to know that it happened prior.
Yeah, like, we can get the confessionals about it. Also, who was it? Was it Baron Kayla we saw, like, hooking up in the shower on 35, 34, whatever season? Like, there are cameras around. I don't need to, like, I'm not saying Love Island season 2 style, but, like,
yeah.
I want to know more about the mess.
Yeah. So next week we're going to see more of Fessy versus Nelson, Fessy versus CT, all that in part 2. What else are we missing that we're going to get talked about next week?
Truly have no idea. I'm Same. Wondering if this is going to be an hour and a half or an hour, but I feel like we covered a really good amount and don't need much more, but I'm sure check in with Corey, check in with some of these other people. Like, they brought out, was like, here's Jay, and then never talked to him. I'm sure that probably some of that might have got cut out, but there was really not a lot there for some people.
It's really just going to be more about Fessy.
Yeah, I presume so.
Ultimately the story there. I don't know, maybe we'll get, like, because there was a lot of things they didn't touch on, like, you know, obviously there was a lot of talk about how the final four women, or no, I'm sorry, the final five women, I think, in the house were all women of color, and, like, that was, like, you know, something that they were highlighting towards the end of the season. So I'm hoping that it's not just drama, that we get, like, some meaningful conversation in the next one, but obviously I have, like, little faith in that being the case, but we'll see.
Yeah, I'm looking that up now. I feel like it was the top six women, maybe even seven. But yeah, definitely could be touched on, I would say.
Yeah, there was a lot of talk from Cam about, like, what she's there fighting for and whatnot. I feel like, I mean, we definitely need more time on Cam and Lee, right? They got such a small little segment. So I imagine that if there is more, and hopefully there is more. I mean, Cam, you know, how much did we talk about Cam being one of the strongest players we've ever seen in Challenge history, you know, and how well she maneuvered through this game to get them to the end. So I really have to hope that there's more, you know, talking to both of them in part 2.
Yeah, I would imagine so.
So we'll see about that. Anything else from you on Double Agents Reunion Part 1?
No, I'm excited for Part 2. Hopefully it's as fun as Part 1. Hopefully we get a little more new information that we didn't necessarily get in this part. And excited to potentially be joined by Chappelle next week.
Yeah, it's going to be so awkward if Chappelle stands us up or if we stand him up.
That would be pretty awkward, I'm not going to lie.
And by we stand him up, I obviously mean my schedule is all over the place. And I really hope that we can make a time work, but I'm sure we will.
We'll figure it out.
Hi, Chappelle. He called me Matt on Twitter this week.
I know, I was surprised. I was
like, what is this? Who is Matt?
It goes back and forth, the Matt, the SpongeBob.
I haven't heard Matt from Chappelle since I first knew him, and that's what he probably called me.
If he ever Brian's me, we're going to have a problem.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. All right. Speaking of none of what we were speaking of, I'm sorry. let's talk about the Challenge All-Stars. The Challenge All-Stars on Paramount Plus, Episode 5. We just lost Arissa last week, and we get back to the house. Beth feels bad because she was so excited to compete, and she didn't mean to intimidate Arissa so much. And they're like, Beth, you didn't. She was pissed off because she didn't know she was going in. Everybody else had a heads up except for her. It wasn't about you, but it's okay.
I think it was Beth. I'm going to stick with that line. Beth was the intimidator, and that's where I'm sticking with.
All right. Just like a challenge person to create your own narrative there. Also, continuing the challenge tradition here of doing Glee songs, they did Uninvited, which I know everybody remembers, but I mean, it was just so wild because... Rachel sings Uninvited in season 6, episode 1. We are currently recording the Rachel Berry character studies, and it just came up in the part that we recorded like the day prior. So I was like editing that podcast the morning of, and then I watch All Stars, and then there's Uninvited. Nobody cares about this. I understand, but it was interesting to me.
Hey, you care about it. That's what matters.
You're uninvited. It was really nice to.
Can't say I remember the performance, but I will.
It's after she leaves, or she is being told that her career in LA comes to a very quick ending because that flopped, and she gets sent on back to Ohio, and that's what she sings as she goes back home.
Art imitates real life sometimes.
There you go. We get a couple of clips before the challenge itself. Beth and Cyrus obviously still BFFs. Ysela gets a little bit of talking about her and Alton. And, you know, this has been how many confessionals or weeks in a row of Ysela being like, Alton, I got my eyes on him. But we'll get to that later because the brand new Alton is here. And speaking of Alton, we get this clip that's probably the highlight of before the challenge where Derek is trying to climb up the side of the house for what reason? I don't know. And then Alton's like, oh, I can do it. And then they all start climbing the side of the house. And Darrell gets the funny confessional being like, yeah, I hope they all fall and bust their heads so that I win this challenge.
Yeah, I mean, I understand climbing random things. I would not try to climb a wall with absolutely no grips. That is out of my range, but good on Alton. Seems to have absolutely no problem with it where other people were struggling. And this is the Alton I drafted. This is what I was ready for on my team. It's what I expected. I never thought that Alton would come back and all of a sudden wouldn't perform as well as he used to. Like, this is why we have All Stars. I want to see Alton compete again.
Right. And I mean, I genuinely don't remember him being this like athletic, and I don't mean that in a bad way. I don't remember like his going out in Battle of the Seasons was with Nani. Yeah, it was with Nani. Yeah. And I don't know. I just remember like that being a kind of lackluster elimination for them. What'd you say?
He quit that. There's no way in my mind that he didn't quit that. Yeah.
Yeah. No. And you know, we talked a lot about, you know, if he wants to be there, he could do well. I don't know. I don't feel like I've had a huge Alton sample in like all the seasons he's been on. He's just never been like the main character on those seasons, and I just did not remember that he was this good. So.
Yeah, that's fair. They showed the one elimination where he climbs up the cargo net and is up there in, you know, before you can blink. So that is always one of the ones that will stand out to me. I remember Alton climbing on random things. Alton has always been like an absolute powerhouse on the challenge.
Yeah, so more on Alton to come. We get to the challenge. It's called Connect Them All, and Jemmy is like staring into space when they get there. TJ's very concerned about, what's the matter, Jemmy? She's like, oh, sorry. I was just in the zone. I was like, Jemmy, focus. Or maybe that was the problem. She was too focused. But we have teams of six here, checkpoints, your usual challenge. I think this was their version of doing a mini final where, you know, we got everybody running in teams and then getting to a checkpoint, do a puzzle, do a math equation, split up. And as we got to the end of the challenge, people were splitting up and splitting up even more. Eventually, it ended up being an individual race to the end. What did you make of this one?
I like this one. I would love another like this where they're fully individual, but I guess, hey, that's the final. We only have 9 episodes. So I thought this was enjoyable. I liked having, you know, a little bit of a preview of how people might do. It's fairly straightforward. We got to mix up teams a little bit. Overall, I really enjoyed it. How about you?
Yeah, it was fine. It was, you know, the mini finals are always, I think, like, even if it's not like who cares about like the math problems they're doing, that, you know, that's not the point. It's just like you said, like even just the endurance part, like it's, you have 6 people carrying this log up, and to see people that are struggling with it, it just kind of tells you, you know, I don't know if there's an All-Stars 2. That's the kind of thing that I'm like, you know, mentally logging that one. People that were struggling there, it looked like Isela wasn't doing the best. We saw that Alton obviously stood out as being super exhausted and super tired from this one challenge, which was surprising. Because say it again.
Said floored me. I did not see that coming at all.
And like, I don't know, it could have been a bad day. He could have been like not as hydrated as, you know, he should have been, or maybe didn't eat as much, or you never know what the exact circumstances, because that guy is obviously really good physically with a lot of things that, you know, we'll get to, so whatever else. But he didn't do the best there.
Definitely the shocker. Multiple people here were struggling. We got a flashback of Big Easy struggling again on a team running finally on a mini final, so that was nerve-wracking. But to see Alton, I think, definitely was the standout of this challenge, where you didn't expect, he didn't seem to struggle on the individual running portion, so I don't know what it was, but for him to be like grabbing onto Beth in order to stand up and get up this hill was definitely shocking.
I know, Beth is like, I'm fine, like get off of me, dude, like I'm keeping up with our team here, and you're the one you know, giving me a problem. But the bigger story, I guess, happening here is, of course, one of the two people that will ultimately lose this challenge, Cyrus, goes into it with a bit of an injury. Apparently his ankle has been acting up pretty badly, and going into this challenge, he knew that that could be a concern. It's like, I'm not going to give you the Cyrus that I want to be giving here. And then he was doing pretty well with the ankle. Even Jemmy commented saying like he was, you know, doing a lot more impressive than Alton, who did seem to have 2 working ankles. But ultimately he and Beth do end up coming in last place for the challenge and have to go into elimination. So rough go for Cyrus, especially.
Yeah, it's tough. I don't know what caused the ankle injury, but was super impressed with how he competed, especially considering that it seemed like it wasn't holding him back. He was doing better than a lot of the members on his own team and on the others. But unfortunately, it was just like something that you're probably not going to be able to overcome in the course of this short season. So sucks for this to happen to Cyrus. And but also, I'm glad to see that he did kind of outperform my expectations in parts also, though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I never would have drafted Cyrus too high, just because I think he's one of the older guys there. Mm-hmm. And look at some of the other guys here, Alton, Derek, Mark, people that, you know, that you just kind of look at immediately and know that they're going to do well. So I'm always going to kind of end up being drafting for like who I think will win a final if they get there. I didn't really have my money on Cyrus on that end of things, but I feel like any season that you get, you can expect him to do relatively well. But there's always the chance that something like this happens. So, mm-hmm. You know.
Yeah, that's fair.
It is what it is. The winners that we have in this challenge, Letarian and Kendall. Letarian was very happy with himself getting in first place, as he should be. He was, you know, extremely dominant performance there, followed pretty close behind by Derek. And then Kendall does pretty impressive as well. And I don't think anyone's surprised that Kendall's doing well, because everyone's like, she is really good, especially Kellyanne, who continues to take note of Kendall doing well. Kendall and Letarian are our winners here.
Yeah, that Kellyanne and Kendall power duo on a team yet again. I'm taking note, but I don't know. For Kendall, it's still surprising to me where the first scene we really got of her in this season was her struggling in the backyard, doing yoga, like not sure what exactly, like I need to figure out exactly why I'm here. And she has just gone on to be pretty dominant in these challenges. So goes to show why she's been trying to get back on for all this time, if she knows she was going to be competing this well.
Yeah, I mean, two wins in how many challenges, how many episodes so far. So she does seem to still be on like the outs of the house. I don't think many people are still, you know, wanting to see her all the way at the end, especially the women who know that she's their biggest competition at this point. So if she ever is not safe, you have to expect she's going to end up going into elimination by the vote. But, you know, she's not giving them that opportunity to put her in. So there you go.
It's wild. It's wild that a Kendall Shepherd win is on the table for this season, but I'm not that upset about it personally.
It is wild. So with our winners and losers, you know, now that we have them all, we're going to see Cyrus get back to the house. And this is kind of our main storyline of the episode. He gets back, he puts the ice on the ankle because obviously he's not doing great with it. And he wants Alton as his opponent for the night.
Oh, my eyes were almost rolled out of my head. I was just like, don't be a hero. Like, there's no need. I get that Alton is not someone that I would have thought you wanted to run against in a final, but seems like you have a lot better chance against him in this final based on how today went than in an elimination. Like, if you're seeing him scale the walls of the house with no handholds, like, the elimination is going to have handholds. You are going to get demolished. So I don't know why this was ever even an option for Cyrus.
Yeah, I feel like everybody in the house was like, so, Cyrus, Big Easy? And he's like, no, Alton. And, like, got himself picked up Big Easy and put him in the arena in front of Cyrus and was like, you want Big Easy? And Cyrus was like, no, get the fuck out of here. I want Alton. And it was like, okay, Alton is yours. Then they get to nominations and, you know, Mark was like, well, this is what Cyrus wants. And, you know, I don't think there were necessarily many people that were like trying to go against him, but it seems to be what they've been doing every week of giving the person who they want. So the votes were there for him and Alton's going to go in.
Yeah. This was surprising. I thought it was ultimately going to be easy because, like, Nehemiah has that confessional. Like, do you give your ally what they want, even if it's marching them to their death? And I don't know the answer. Like, how would you handle that, say you were in, like, Nehemiah's spot?
I mean, you got to play, if the easiest answer on the board to protect your game on this very short season is, if my friend is being a dummy and wants to go against this person that seven other people are going to vote for, I'm just going to put my vote on that person because it's not going to make a difference to me. Even if Alton comes back in the house, the whole house voted for you. I didn't want to, but that's where the votes were.
Yeah, and I also would rather, if I fall into elimination, I'm going to say Big Easy next week. So I'm not saying Alton. If by the off chance you take him out, good luck. And if not, then Big Easy's still around here for me to go against next week.
Right. And I always think about like the mental aspect of some of these like eliminations as well. I like take a lot of into account of like momentum. And I feel like if I am Nehemiah, if I'm anyone else that like, yeah, like you said, like I want Big Easy next week. I don't want Big Easy going in and getting the win this week and then feeling himself going into next week if they try to get him in again, if he's somebody on the outs, like, you know, like let him go in like nervous and fresh to the elimination that I might have to face him in. So yeah. I don't know. That's just something I consider.
And also someone that you are probably not scared of in a final. So yes. I don't see a real reason to be targeting him. Ultimately, seems like people like Jemmy and others really have Big Easy at the front of their minds, and I don't think that's a bad call considering we see the mini final today involving a lot of partnerships. I could see that being an aspect to the final on an all-star season like this where it's a little bit abbreviated. So it's interesting. I'm curious if the men or the women will get their way towards the end of the season on that one.
Yeah. So with the nominations, we end up seeing, you know, most of them, go towards Alton, a little bit here about Derek and Nehemiah voting at each other. What the hell was that about? Apparently there's like a rivalry between these two that has not been being shown. They talk about it a little bit on the after show. I don't know what that's all about or why, but okay. We'll see if it means anything.
I would rather see it, to be like, I feel like we could have fit it in. And if not,
what is it from? Like, what?
I have no idea. And like, maybe Nehemiah comes on the podcast and they explain it. But in terms of the episode, it came out of nowhere. No, though. I mean, maybe. Who knows?
Did we get Nehemiah?
I feel like it's not off the table, to be honest. But right. Yeah, it's more about us putting that out there than it definitely not being possible.
Okay, so speaking of, I think it's been now made official that we did win the must-lose draft, right?
True.
So wasn't the bet that we have to now find attainable guests for Brian and Allie to interview?
Yeah, it's hard because it's like, do you want to go with like, this is supposed to be a punishment. Am I going with someone right. that I want to hear because I really enjoy listening to Brian and Allie and said guest? Or am I going for the punishment aspect of that? I have not decided either way there.
No, I definitely want to enjoy the podcast and like enjoy the guest on the podcast. So I don't want to, you know, say like...
So you're saying Chuck from Are You the One is off the table?
Right. Like if the option was attainable, like I wouldn't be like Fessy. Like I wouldn't want to put anyone through that.
Yeah.
So we'll see. We'll talk about it off air. And
if people have ideas, tweet them at us.
And if anybody forgot what we're getting at here, that the bet was like we can pick, I guess, a couple of options of somebody who would be an attainable guest for the losers to have to reach out to and try to get an interview with on the podcast. So we could just be like, oh, see if you can get Natalie Negrotti and catch up with her and see where she's at in her life these days, just for any particular reason.
It's possible. We'll see what happens. But I'm definitely curious what people think. Could be an All-Stars name. Could be current Challenge cast member. Obviously, if they are not available on Book Cameo right now, they're probably not going to be available for podcast, especially long ones. So I am, open to suggestions in terms of who we should be nominating there.
Yes. This the fun part of winning here with that. So excited for the next must-lose draft and to see, what the stipulations end up being there. But a lot of fun doing that draft and, getting to have more stakes in these challenge seasons. So that is that. What else is happening here? So, yeah, Alton gets the votes. Am I forgetting anything from the nominations? Well, I guess when they get back, I didn't forget this yet because it didn't happen yet. But when they get back to the house and Alton tells Cyrus, like, oh, I'm going to see you in there. And Cyrus is like, oh, really? And Alton's like, yeah. He goes in for the handshake and Cyrus is completely going to ignore him.
Yeah. See, the thing is, I didn't have like a huge issue with this because Alton is annoyed. When I probably had a bigger issue with this, he's like, I'm not going to shake the wrist that I'm going to break. Maybe not. Let's I understand being a little annoyed, but I feel like that is maybe more annoyed than I would have taken it to be. But it's $500,000, so I'm not going to be like holier than thou, where I feel like we got a confessional from Letarian of like how dare he walk by him. Like it's not ideal, but I don't think this is out of character for Alton either.
Yeah. So, and then we end up going inside and seeing a little bit from Alton and Ysella, who, I mean, this is like cutting a little bit all around because it's like we talk about them and then they go like they all go out for the night. But ultimately, it does seem like these two have connected. In a week where I was watching Survivor All Stars, the only thing I could think to write in my notes was Alton and Ysella are gonna do it.
Well, didn't Alton get that question where he was like, am I sleeping with Ysella? No comment or something. I was like, I feel like that is implying a heavy yes, but okay. So, hey, we are getting a lot more action on the Challenge All-Stars. If anyone is still not sold on the Paramount Plus, like there's more drama here.
There's hookups. There is lots of cursing cut to the end of the episode with Beth and Cyrus. Oh, fuck, fuck you. I'm like, oh my God, I've not heard this on my challenge in a while, if ever. So, yeah, check the challenge out, All Stars, if you're just listening to us talk about it. Kirsten. Who else? Public call outs.
Oh, no, I don't know. I don't. We'll think about it. We'll have
Matt. Are you watching? Are you watching Gagan?
Yeah, that is true.
I don't know.
Should be watching. Come on, Matt.
I don't know. Well, let us know. So we get to the elimination. Alton gets called down to face off against Cyrus. Twist alert. Twist alert. Twistos twist. Beth getting screwed. How big is or how bad in the history books will Beth getting screwed go down amongst the other screwed contestants?
I don't think it will, to be honest. I feel like where Beth was screwed was that she wasn't told at like the challenge. Beth going in, fine, she came in last. Like, I saw this as where he's talking about how, like, oh, there's going to be a twist. Like, you want to not lose this one, yada, yada. It felt pretty obvious that, like, we could be getting a double elimination, whether that's men or women, like, men or men's and women's elimination day. But for them to have Beth show up, like, without her, even her tennis shoes, and then, like, she's automatically forced with Cyrus, whereas, like, the guy who was voted in just gets to pick any woman. Like, can we stop disadvantaging all the women in these twists? Like, I feel like every time the first elimination where it's a surprise on 36, it's for the women. On this one, it's for the women. Like, the guys can get the taste of the medicine also sometimes.
Yeah, I don't know what I don't know. Like, obviously, I predicted last week, I think we all kind of assumed going forward that it was probably going to start to be more people going home. I didn't expect it like this. I thought I was wrong, because when they got to the elimination or to whatever, when they said that Cyrus was the only person that was going in or whatever, I was like, oh, okay, so it is just one person that loses. But then, of course, we got there and they're like, oh no, you're going to be in pairs competing in this and every elimination going forward. So I was like, ugh, like, couldn't have started this in the other week where it was like, whatever. So yeah, Beth ends up getting called down with Cyrus because she was the other loser, which is like, she had no time to prep. She didn't even have her tennis shoes. Like, come on. And then Alton gets to choose any partner that he'd like, which he ends up picking Anissa. We can talk about that as well. So it ends up being a 4-person elimination. The rest of them going forward are going to be, I get it, they have to do this because filming is wrapping up very soon in real time. And, we only have, this was episode 5. So we have, 3 more episodes, and then it's going to be a final. If it doesn't start in episode 8. So super quick here, but that's what it is.
But you so easily could have just been like, Beth and Cyrus are right. The losers today. Let's vote in 2 people. But no. And next week it will be like there is 1 women's loser and 1 men's loser. And then the woman that gets voted in will get to choose a guy. So it's frustrating. Also, like, let's say Big Easy did get voted in, and then he says, like, you know what, out of spite, let's go Jemmy. Like, she didn't do anything wrong, she's just getting pulled into an elimination. And like, it's fun when Ashley Mitchell tries to ruin someone's game out of spite in the first week to get them sent home, but like, I am worried about, like, there is the potential for people who did nothing wrong to just go home here. The fact that they're automatically paired up when they didn't lose, they didn't like get voted in, they didn't do anything, is frustrating, especially if they don't have a heads up about it. Thank God we learned the rules of the lifesaver before it went away the very next week. But it's like, I want to know the rules, and especially they should know the rules of the game that they're playing in.
Yeah, and I feel like going forward, the Jemmys and Anissas and whoever's are going to adapt to this new gameplay where they're going to have to vote people in, knowing that there's a chance that could happen, and be very strategic. I was gonna say smart about it, but all I got was so they have to be smart about it going forward, about who they're putting in, so that, like you said, they don't just get pulled in. So we'll see how that all goes. But as for this elimination, it's the same elimination that was left over from last week when Arissa did not decide to participate. I got a punch through the wall, go over it, which is an added element with the people going over it. Not great for Cyrus and his ankle, but get the balls over and whatnot. And then obviously Alton and Anissa do great here. I think the Anissa pick was definitely worthwhile for Alton. He knew that she was in the numbers in the house, which is what I think we're just guessing at this point. She seems to be in with a lot of different people. She's in like the main power structure, I'm again guessing, and she obviously wants to be there. If you're looking around, like, who is here with something to prove, who is not ready to just go home and call it a day here on the season, Anissa is definitely somebody that I would see fitting into that category, so I don't hate the pick.
Yeah, I felt like it was a good pick, and also where, like, I know I'm getting Anissa on season 37, Anissa went home here.
If she did go home, yeah.
Better than someone like Katie or even Beth getting screwed here and going home. But yeah, there were multiple people that are Hisela getting sent out for this. Like, I was like, do not dare pick her. I don't care who, like, what you guys are doing.
Because
Anissa was a good pick here.
Yeah, like Alton knew he was the one climbing up and going over the walls. So he just needed to pick a strong person that could punch through the walls at a faster rate than Beth. And again, that I think that, like, had the motivation that, like, they wanted to win. So looking around, I definitely can see why he picked Anissa. Like, she, and you know, they hype her up all throughout the end of the episode. Derek is like the ultimate elimination queen. TJ saying, 11-11 now, which I'm like, that's probably a good record. It doesn't sound, it's like, that's, 50% success rate, but like it's a lot of eliminations, as she points out. So I don't think that anyone is generally doubting what Anissa has done in her career, but it still feels a little strange to me that like at this point in her career to be calling her the ultimate elimination queen as if like she can beat anybody.
Well, it was just funny also because it's like it's not like we called it out when it was 10-10 before she lost on 36.
Right.
Like it was just tied up very recently. So, you know, Anissa was always known as like the elimination queen. And I think that,
right,
that
which
has
is fine.
Trailed off a little bit in the more recent years, as would most people. I feel like 11-11 over the course of like 20 years is more impressive than if it was just someone going in constantly over a 3-year, you know, span or whatever the case was, could have been. It would have been quite a few eliminations that person was seeing. But, yeah, you know, Anissa definitely shines in those eliminations where I think that probably most people on the show don't have a lot of hope in Anissa shining in terms of the final. So I'm glad that they're giving her due when they can also at the same time.
Agreed. So Beth and Cyrus on their way out here. It's sad, but like, I mean, did I think Beth was gonna win the season? Did I think she was gonna make the final? If she did, it would have been on Social Game. You know, I don't know. I don't want to be mean about Beth by any means. And I'm not being mean if I'm just analyzing her as a player, right? So like, why am I so hard on myself?
I feel like she did fine.
Yeah, she did just fine. I think obviously she got a partner who had a bad ankle, but otherwise she definitely could have, you know, kept up. I was so happy to see Beth, this player who, you know, all these years ago didn't always take it the most serious. If I'm you know, analyzing her past gameplay correctly, you know, there were times where she would just be like, "All right, I'm done. I'm gonna go now." But like she was running around on that field, like trying to like get the job done and, you know, do anything she can, having Cyrus stand on her back, be like, get up there, do it, we gotta keep moving. It was just a great side of her to see.
Yeah, Beth the Intimidator did really show up. By far the more upsetting Beth elimination of last night or 2 days ago or whatever the case was when we're recording this. I am bad with time. But yeah, you know, I am sad to lose Beth. I'm happy we had her for at least 5 episodes. But like, it's so brutal that like, why do the people that we like are ends up the ones who getting screwed in these twists? So annoying. But better than her going out last episode, I guess. Better than her not having showed up on TV, you know, 20 years later or whatever the case it was. So very happy that we have seen Beth again. And I yes. think that it's on the table if there's an All-Stars 2. Beth gets the call. It's up to her whether she wants to.
Oh, I mean, TJ was like, we will see you both mm-hmm. again. Like, so I don't know. Somebody already told him that there's All-Stars 2 coming and that they're both going to be on it. That's, I mean, so
I found that interesting. I yeah. did. I was like, how much can I read it to this?
I know. So we'll see about all that. Cyrus was very unhappy on his way out. You know, he wanted the one-on-one against Alton, which, I mean, spoiler alert, you also would have not won that because your ankle's really bad and Alton's really strong and good. And Cyrus, I don't know what you were thinking there, but it
did annoy me a little bit. And I like Cyrus, but to be like, oh, like I want the one-on-one. Like,
I know, like
are you implying that Beth held you back there? Because I don't think that was the case.
I know. And everybody kept like, you know, calling him out like the entire second half of the episode, saying, you know, he's playing way like extremely with his emotions and not mm-hmm. thinking about the game. And like, it's hard to say that that's not true. You know, it's just he was really it did feel like he was being kind of a bad sport about what happened at the challenge, like saying, yeah, Alton had a, you know, bit of a hiccup there. And sure, if you want to hold that against him and go against him, but then like, look what happens. You went against a guy who in an elimination a separate challenge, a 2-on-2, sent you home.
Yeah, it was like an up from the moment that Alton was voted in. I was like, I'm sad that we're losing Cyrus. I did not expect them to be competing in pairs in elimination. So even while I saw Beth very possibly going in, I did not prepare myself to lose her as early as I did for Cyrus. But sad for both of them. I would be very happy to see them both back on this show. And yeah, hopefully it happens.
Yeah. So that is all I have for this week. Did we miss anything? Anything else that you wanted to bring up from, I don't know, from the after show, from online, from anything at all?
No, I mean, we'll get it back in here for part two. I'm sure that we'll have plenty of time to close out anything on 36 next week. And All-Stars is ever evolving, still fun. Very excited to get back in here next week to talk about that as well. I saw that actually there was one article. Did you see supposedly like Cook did some interview where she like really wants to get back on the show and is so disappointed she was dropped from All-Stars? So
I did not see that, but that's, I don't want to say funny, but like maybe unexpected is what I should say.
I agreed because it was like this All-Star. I was like, who is this? Who's dying to come back here? But yeah, interesting. Cook, I'm sure people will be happy to hear that. So there's the news, guys.
All right. Sounds good. So anything else for news?
It.
Okay. So anything else we will get back to you guys with in next week. And again, hopefully with the guest. And we will get into all of that then. Anything going on in your world this week outside of the challenge?
So I am allegedly going to be on the last Big Brother feed update tomorrow of the season. Probably going to be a little...
Why allegedly?
Because the feeds are down for the entire day. So,
okay, so it'll be like a 10-minute podcast, but you should still be there unless you get like canceled on the morning.
It's already been talked about. It may end up being a little bit later than usual because hopefully those feeds come back up and we can figure out who the veto winner is and have a lot more to speculate about than if that goes on for too long and does not end up coming back. But yeah, I'll be there tomorrow to talk about all the possibilities for the end game of Big Brother Canada. So that is super exciting. And then otherwise popping up on streams, all of which I'll try to retweet over on Twitter at Brian_Scally.
I mean, if there is a stream, you can assume Scally is there unless
we'll see.
I don't know.
We'll see. Not necessarily.
Not necessarily. I don't know what I was trying to say. I was going to say, like, if it's a cursed stream, you can assume that Scally was at least invited and should be there. Other streams, you know, hit or miss.
We'll see. We'll see how it goes. Okay. I'll notify on Twitter. It's the easiest way.
All righty. Speaking of All-Stars, I was on a podcast this week about Survivor All-Stars, which was about the length of if we took this week and last week and last week and last week and combined them all into one long podcast. I think that's what the runtime was for the Survivor All-Stars podcast that I did with Rob's sister Nino himself, the Survivor All-Star, along with Shad and Gus. Had a great time with the two of them. Yes, I was exhausted by the time it was done, but we fought through it for the sake of Survivor All-Stars, a season not many people have a lot of love for, but one that just kind of always was kind of special to me as I grew up and watched it a lot. So we talk about it all, the good and the bad. It was on Wednesday night, so you can go find that. It was about 4 hours and 24 minutes, I think, was the final runtime there. So lots and lots to listen to if you have not yet, if you want to. So that's my plug for the week. It was long.
It was great. So people definitely showed every minute was worth it. And honestly, I was surprised you didn't go longer. So...
You should know that I was not trying to break a record.
See, that's the thing is I know you love a nice bite-sized podcast, but at the same time, Survivor All-Stars, you, Rob, and Shannon really thought the sky was the limit for the length of that one.
There was no world where I was allowing myself to become the person with the longest RHAP podcast. So when people look back on the longest RHAP podcast, like right now, it's like, oh, it was Rob, Ali, and Akiva. That's a great team to have been the longest RHAP podcast. If it was like Rob and Shannon, oh, that's a great team. But
stop
Rob, Shannon, and Matt, I'm not even trying to do that. I'm just saying, no, I was not ever going to put my. I said at the top of the podcast, Rob was like, "Oh, we're going to try to keep it under 4 hours." I'm like, "Perfect." I was like, "We are not getting anywhere near the long, even though we probably could because it's All-Stars. There's a lot for you to talk. Whatever." I was just, we're not doing that.
Yeah, anywhere near, aka what, 6 minutes under? But sure, not anywhere near.
Well, I felt like he was rushing a little bit towards the end. He was like, I was like, I'm the one that needs to go to bed. And I was like, I think he wants to get off of this call.
Please. That record is going to get broken. Like, sorry to inform all of you and Rob, but that is getting broken at some point.
Yeah. And I also feel like I was like, this record is like on the RHAP main feed. Cause then I was looking up, like Shannon has done like 5 hour deep dives on Survivor Australia stuff. And I was like, oh my God, like, but that's not RHAP feed official. So it counts differently.
There's the Jordan Parhar, Eric Stein, OC of course, Deep Dive podcast. My favorite podcast of all time, I usually say. That was, I believe, the longest for quite some time, if not still.
Yes, famously a five-hour podcast that I listened to having never seen the OC, but I was going to listen to it anyway.
Should watch it. It's great.
So someday. Okay, so that's it. That's all we got for this week. Thank you guys for checking this one out. We will see you guys next week. Of course, on Twitter, Brian_Scally, at Matt Liguori. Let us know your thoughts on the challenge this week and next week and every week. We'll talk to you guys next week. Take care.